Avoiding your unfinished home projects because you're not sure where to start? Thumbtack knows homes, so you don't have to. Don't know the difference between matte paint finish and satin? Or what that clunking sound from your dryer is? With Thumbtack, you don't have to be a home pro. You just have to hire one. You can hire top-rated pros, see price estimates, and read reviews, all on the app. Download today.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. What if comparing car insurance rates was as easy as putting on your favorite podcast? With Progressive, it is. Just visit the Progressive website to quote with all the coverages you want. You'll see Progressive's direct rate, then their tool will provide options from other companies so you can compare. All you need to do is choose the rate and coverage you like. Quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Comparison rates not available in all states or situations. Prices vary based on how you buy.
Going up.
Prices keep going up these days. It feels like being on an elevator that only goes up.
Going up.
But not at Metro. We're pushing the down button.
Going down.
We've lowered prices. Get one line of 5G data for $40, period. That's 20% lower. And you get a free 5G phone when you bring your number. Only at Metro.
5-year guarantee on eligible plans. Exclusions apply. See website for details. Not available at Metro with T-Mobile in the past 6 months. Tax applies.
Hell yeah. We are halfway to the weekend. Wednesday afternoon. Tomorrow is the beginning of the second weekend of Jazz Fest. I'm Scoot on the air. I'm glad you're with us. You know, a lot of people send messages and they post comments on my Facebook page and Instagram. Scoot on the air. It's Facebook and Instagram. And they say, you shouldn't even be talking about Trump. What about the local issues? I talk a lot about local issues. The interesting thing is the audience doesn't respond as much to local issues as it does to other issues. But we're going to talk just a little bit about the President of the United States today. Then I won't even mention his name because that seems to just, you know, piss some people off. And I don't mean to do that, but you know, this is a talk show and there's a lot going on in this country. And as a member of the media, I am sincerely concerned about attacks on freedom of speech. And again, this is something that you might not see in your life because you've got freedom of speech at the bar. You've got freedom of speech when you're just talking with friends or talking in the office. I'm talking about a threat to freedom of speech in the media. And that's where it starts. And it's really some things that are happening and they're initiated by the President of the United States. These things are scary. And so I'm very alert when it comes to attacks on freedom of speech, obviously because of what I do, but also because I'm a patriotic American. And freedom of speech in the media, freedom of the press, this is one of the foundations of our society, our culture, our country. And we can't let that go. And we, the American people, have to be aware of any threat to our freedom of speech. And if we hear about that, we need to rise up and stand up and make sure that we do all we can to make sure that there is no attack on freedom of speech. So we got a few things to talk about. And you've heard that there's going to be a town hall tonight, the Trump town hall on News Nation. And if you haven't checked out News Nation, it's one of the rather new news cable networks. And News Nation is really more about the facts and information than it is about biased opinions. Now, they do have opinions, but I would say that they're not Fox News and they're not CNN or MSNBC. So News Nation is a little different. I forget where it is on Cox Cable. I want to say, I'm not even going to guess. I kind of forget where it is, but I can find it when I'm at home. But anyway, this town hall is going to be right here on WWL starting at 7 o'clock. It's a town hall with President Trump on his first 100 days in office, which was yesterday. It's moderated by Chris Cuomo and from News Nation, also Bill O'Reilly and Stephen A. Smith. So this is tonight from 7 to 9, right here on WWL, AMFM, and WWL.com. Also free on the Odyssey app. If you haven't downloaded that, download the Odyssey app, and you've got this show and this station wherever you have your phone. And we know you take your phone everywhere. Yes, even there. We know you have your phone with you. So you'll have this show and the station with you wherever you go. Not that I need to be in there with you. You understand. But you've got the station with you wherever you go. anyway, that's going to be interesting. And so, you know, as a talk show, we will talk about that tomorrow afternoon. And again, I'm going to be honest with my opinions about that. But this is a an event judging presidents in their first 100 days in office goes back to FDR, and it has been a tradition. And it does continue with the president of the United States right now. So we'll talk a little bit about that today. But, you know, in just a little while, we're going to talk to Michael Adams. He's the author of a book, In Praise of Profanity. And I want to ask him some questions about something that Bowen Yang said from Saturday Night Live. Bowen Yang, he's funny, very funny. He says that their comedy is hampered because they can't use the S word. They can't use the F bomb. Do you agree with that? Also, with profanity being allowed on YouTube channels, on podcasts, streaming shows, is profanity becoming more acceptable? I think it is. But anyway, we're going to talk to him in just a few minutes. All right, so the city council is investigating deplorable conditions in New Orleans city buildings. This is so typical of our city. Our freaking mayor, and I wish I could use the F-bomb, our freaking F-bomb mayor, you know, travels and goes on these lavish trips. And believe me, she's living it up on these trips. She ain't staying at no Motel 6 or Ramada Inn. She's living it up. And if I'm wrong, let her prove me wrong. So the mayor goes on these trips, and the city has buildings that are in deplorable condition. City Council is investigating. How can you expect people to have a good attitude if the conditions that they work in are deplorable? But allowing this to happen is typical New Orleans stuff. I mean, this is the mentality of our city. This is it. Who cares? You know, we'll work on other stuff. We'll deal with other things. But this is important. I mean, look, I work in a state-of-the-art studio. This studio is impeccable here at WWL. I can't imagine what it would be like if there was something dripping from the ceiling, if there was mold in here, if there was broken plumbing, if there were rodent infestations, if there was poor ventilation. These are some of the conditions in some city buildings. Why is this allowed? Well, because the mayor doesn't really have to do this, because this is all behind the scenes. But she's putting the employees of New Orleans, she's putting them through this crap. Now, this didn't start with Mayor Cantrell, but she's the mayor right now, and apparently she's not doing anything about it, because she doesn't care. I mean, she doesn't care. I guarantee you, history is going to record this, that Mayor LaToya Cantrell, the first African female mayor of New Orleans, instead of being an honorable person, she is going to be seen as somebody who just didn't care. Believe me, any good that she did is going to be superseded by her arrogant attitude. Trust me on this. But it hurts me to hear about these deplorable conditions. And then it's allowed to exist. And then, you know, not long ago, there was that whole deal about rats eating the evidence in the drug, in the drug evidence room. Rats eating up the marijuana and stuff. And I mean, that made them even have more munchies, and they went and had to eat more stuff. All right, so this is on NOLA.com. There was a man shouting racist slogans, and giving a Nazi salute. Actually, no, I think this was from Channel 4, from WWL TV. A man shouting racist slogans and giving a Nazi salute on Decatur Street. It was caught on video. This is a reminder that this kind of stuff exists. You know, this guy is proudly, he's not wearing a shirt, and he is stereotypical of what it looks like. I mean, these people all look different, but this particular guy sort of fits the stereotype of these people. And he's proud to be shouting out these racist slogans. And this is something that exists. In fact, later in the show, we're going to talk about this national network. There's a national network popping up around the country that is using fitness and sports to introduce young people, a new young generation, to neo-Nazi ideology. They're called youth club chapters, and they're popping up all over the country. And essentially, they're American neo-fascist fight clubs, youth-oriented fight clubs designed to groom the next generation of activist racists. This is alive and well. This is alive and well. I don't know why it's happening. You know, I grew up in the 60s. I'm a boomer. I'm a hostile witness to the baby boomer generation. And I'm very honest about the pitfalls of my generation, the failings of my generation. But, you know, I think back on what we stood for. Equality. Just getting along. Not judging each other. And that hasn't happened. In fact, in some ways, there's a resurgence of racism. So there was this point where we started to really get along, and now there's a resurgence of racism. We'll talk more about that a little bit later. So Louisiana Senator John Kennedy is sucking up to Trump. Now, Senator Kennedy has told me that they listen to this show on Capitol Hill. Senator, if you're listening, dude, do you have a backbone? Do you have testicles? I mean, now he's like kissing up to Trump and the tariffs. April 21st of this year, U.S. Senator John Kennedy in Broussard, Louisiana, said he doesn't like tariffs and is not exactly sure what Donald Trump's plan is on the tariffs, but he expects it to bring countries to the negotiating table. Well, they're not coming to the table. I mean, there's no evidence that they're coming to the table. But Kennedy was against the tariffs. We talked about that on the show. April the 9th, Senator Kennedy criticizes President Trump's reciprocal tariffs, arguing an eye for an eye just leaves both people blind. And now he's for the tariffs. Do these people not think that we keep track of this? I mean, I like Senator John Kennedy as a person, but I don't like the hypocrisy, and he's usually not so hypocritical. You know, we've asked him several times to come on the show, but he's busy. I mean, I'm not saying he's not busy. He might really be busy, or he might not want to come on the show. I don't know. We'll continue to try to get him on the show. And Senator Kennedy also made some comment, ridiculous comment, about who really runs this radio station and who really runs our company. And it was false, fake information. I am in the business. I am here at the station. And what I tell you is a fact. And what John Kennedy implied is fantasy. And he shouldn't have said what he said. But he said it, and it was wrong. But not long ago, he was against the tariffs. Didn't understand what Trump was trying to do. Now he's for the tariffs. So, you know, like, this is the crazy hypocritical world that we live in. In fact, you know, maybe hypocrisy is just a really a great threat to democracy. Also, we got to get to this a little bit later. Megyn Kelly is now suggesting that Bill Belichick's relationship, he's 73, his girlfriend's 24. Megyn Kelly is now suggesting that this might be elder abuse, that she might be abusing him. There was an interview recently, and she stopped a question that was asked about how did they meet. Why does she not want to know how they met? I mean, is she a hooker? Why would that be a problem? Apparently, according to TMZ, she stormed off the interview, just stormed out of the interview and just left. You know, when you're 73 and you look like Bill Belichick, I mean, he's kind of pudgy. I mean, he's wrinkly and pudgy. and you got a hot-looking 24-year-old girlfriend, she ain't with you for your body. She's not with you for your looks. She's with you for your money, and she's seeking fame and fortune. I mean, this is an absolute no-brainer. And he may love her, but, you know, sometimes these kind of relationships just don't work out. And sometimes people look silly. But anyway, we'll talk a little bit about that. Also, I hope we get to this afternoon. I was reading this article from Men's Journal, and a survey indicates that 95% of single women want men to be more active in approaching them in public. Are you kidding me? Man, I don't see that at all. Ian is doing business in the office today. Coleman is our studio producer. Good afternoon, sir.
How you doing, Scoop?
Good. Do you believe that 95% of the women, the single women out there, want us to approach them?
I can absolutely believe that's what they want. And they only recognize that now because there was this time period where men stopped approaching women on a dating scene, especially after the whole, like, the Me Too movement happened and anything you say or do can be misconstrued into, like, some sort of sexual assault. So men started to, like, kind of shy away from just going up and approaching women at bars, especially, you know, men stop realizing that, you know what, I don't want to take the chance of being rejected either.
Yeah.
So men have been held back and they started like kind of doing a dating site with like the dating app thing instead of actually going and approach. Now women are starting to realize, wait, nobody's approaching me. Why? I'm dressing like this. I look like that. And all those things that men used to go for are now warning signs to stay away from.
I mean, we're scared.
Right.
We're scared.
I'm not going to say fear. I'm going to say cautious. I think about, you know what? This woman is.
No, I'm scared.
Oh, you're
scared. I would be scared. I mean, I'm tired of rejection. I don't want to set myself up for rejection.
I fear losing my job by making an off-color joke trying
to
flirt.
Well, okay, no. I mean, no. That's in the office. I'm talking about just in an open public situation. But, you know, I mean, I understand why especially attractive women have their guard up. Because guys are trying to hit on them. Guys are trying to pick them up. I mean, I see it all the time, and I see women with their guard up. And a lot of men, you know, when they meet a woman, they don't look her in the eye. They start to look her in the eye, and then they go down. And they look at the breast, and then they go down and see feet or legs or hips. They look a woman up and down. I mean, that's kind of insulting if you're a woman. But, you know, guys don't feel like there's an opening to go talk to women without the fear of being totally rejected. So we'll talk more about this in the 3 o'clock hour. All right. We're going to get to some of your calls a little bit later. But when we come back, I want to talk about this idea that cursing, that profanity is becoming more mainstream because of social media, because of Facebook, because of Instagram, because of podcast, because of YouTube channels, because of streaming shows, where profanity is constantly used. So is profanity becoming part of mainstream America? And is profanity needed in order to make something funny? Bowen Yang of Saturday Night Live says that. So we'll talk about that when we come back. And then we'll get to more of your calls about some of the things that we are talking about. I'm Scoot on the air. It is Wednesday. We are halfway to the weekend. And again, tomorrow is the opening day of the second weekend of Jazz Fest. We'll be right back. This is WWL.
It's time for MLB Pitch, Hit, and Run, the official youth skills competition of Major League Baseball. Host a local event and give kids in your community a chance to compete in the Pitch, Hit, and Run Finals at the 2024 MLB World Series. Sign up for free at pitchhitrun.com.
Yeah, you know, there's a lot of that on the Scoot on the Air Facebook page. You can check that out. I hope you'll join us and become one of us, Scoot on the Air Facebook and Scoot on the Air Instagram. And I need some of you to comment on some of the comments that are posted there. Yeah, I need opposing views, so I'd love for you to join me. Scoot on the Air Facebook and Scoot on the Air Instagram. I need you. All right, so Bowen Yang of Saturday Night Live says that the comedy on the show is being hampered because they cannot use the S word or drop the F bomb. Is he right? Also, Democrats recently have been dropping the F-bomb a lot. House and Senate seats have pledged to, quote, un-F our country. And they urge their party to drop the excuses and grow an effing spine. This is going on with the Democrats. They're saying this. They're trying to rally their base voters. Nathan Sage, a Democrat, launched a career last week by saying that farmers have been effed over, except the words spelled out, and vowing to kick the corporate Republican Senator Joni Ernst ass in the midterms, if we could say ass on the air. Profanity in some ways makes communication more emphatic and dramatic. But is social media and our podcast and streaming shows, YouTube channels, are they making profanity more common in terms of how we communicate? Michael Adams is a provost professor of English at Indiana University of Bloomington. He's also the author of the book In Praise of Profanity. Michael, welcome to our show.
Well, thanks so much for having me. It's great to be here.
All right, so let's talk about profanity. I mean, it does make comedy. It does make language communication more emphatic and dramatic.
Yeah, who knows where to start exactly, but it's fair to say that the first evidence we've got of the F word in English is in a poem. So it's the language of art. You know, it's not just the profanity we think of today as being intrusive or vulgar, or, you know, it may have been vulgar, but it had an artistic purpose when the poet William Dunbar used it, if you can believe it, back in the 15th century. So it's got its roots in what, you know, Bowen Yang says is its comedic potential, or its ability to shock, stuff like that, that you want to have in your toolkit if you're going to be an artist or a comedian or somebody whose work depends on being especially expressive.
Yeah, Michael, sometimes I think that comedians overuse the F-bomb and overuse profanity and overuse cursing to make a point. And I always thought it was very artful when a comedian was able to convey a comic thought without using profanity.
Yeah, and there's fun in that euphemism, right? Amy Poehler's response to Mr. Yang was measured, and she said, "Isn't it great? Maybe just to have the sort of unspoken the tension that comes out of not speaking the profanity. That's a good thing to have on the air too, and lots of fun for comedy. Dropping it frequently, well, more frequently than we do in everyday speech, maybe." But there are times when you've got to resort to profanity because ordinary words fail. When words fail, you have profanity to take their place, if you want to look at it like that. I think it's not comedy, but I think of an episode of The Wire, from the first season of The Wire, where the two main detectives are so amazed by what they're encountering in their search for stuff in an apartment that for about 10 minutes, all they can do is use different versions of the F word. And you know, given what they were faced with, it looked like it was probably the right response. And I think, too, you know, when you pick up your groceries, you got them in a paper bag, you're walking toward the bus, it starts to rain, you reach the curb, the bags break, everything falls to the ground, a car comes by and splashes you with water. You know, sugar is not going to express what you feel at that particular moment. Euphemism is not going to work, right? So there are times when you really need
in those frustrating moments, you know, profanity is cathartic. You know, it's just
absolutely.
You get it out. I mean, like when you're driving. I mean, oh, you fool! You know, for somebody who cuts in front of you, that's not going to work.
Right.
That's not going to make
right.
you feel any better.
Right, probably not, and also it's not going to make the other driver drive any better. And there's science behind this, actually, what you're talking about, because at the University of Bristol, about two decades ago, they did an experiment with people, having them put their hands into buckets of ice and cold water to hold the hand there as long as they possibly could. And guess what? Those who swore were able to do it longer.
Wow.
Because of the release of emotion that you're talking about. So it's absolutely true that that's how we use it. And then I guess if you're thinking of it in terms of comedy, one thing is, how are you representing reality? And if you're representing the type of frustration we're talking about in your comedic sketch, then it would be kind of a natural not to have the profanity in there as well. But, you know, having written a book called In Praise of Profanity doesn't mean that I think all profanity is used well or for good ends. Sometimes it isn't. It can be cruel speech. And also it can be just, repetitive noise within conversation and not expressive of much at all. And I think that's what you had in mind if you drop it too often in the course of a comedy routine. You know, it becomes so usual. That you're not really using it for its unusualness, right, which is what it's there for.
Yeah. Professor, with profanity allowed and used often on podcasts and YouTube channels and streaming shows, is profanity becoming more acceptable, more mainstream America?
I think it's been becoming more mainstream America since the Second World War forward. At least we can measure it better now than we could before the Second World War. I mean, maybe there was more swearing than we know about because it just wasn't, you know, there weren't recorded documents that had the swearing in it. So I think all of those channels do reinforce people's sense that they can use profanity, at least in some contexts, very safely. And because you brought up the political angle on it, I have to say, I think President Trump has had an effect here by kind of giving politicians, one, a license to be profane at times. And also, you know, it's a challenge. So people want to up the ante. And if one politician is swearing and getting away with it, then maybe either to seem authentic or down to earth or, you know, to do what President Trump supporters have often said of him, that he says what he means. He says what he feels. He's a straightforward speaker in that way. Other people want to own that space in the public argument, too.
All right, when I started in radio years ago, nobody said damn. Nobody said bitch. Nobody said son of a bitch. Nobody said pissed off. Nobody said ass. Yeah. You know, we said damn. Still today, we don't say gee damn. I mean, that's still something that is bleepable. But nobody said these things. So even broadcast radio has progressed. Do you see a time in the very near future when instead of saying BS, we're just going to say the word?
Yeah, I think we probably will. I think we do in everyday speech more and more often, and the more we do it in everyday speech, the less we're going to tolerate radio and television and podcasts and all the rest of it, just avoiding the type of speech that we all use regularly. And I think that in some of those media, I have podcasts in mind particularly, people form bonds over profanity. You're not really supposed to use it, but you do use it. If you can get away with using it together, right, it kind of consolidates a bond. And so people trying to be intimate suddenly in the podcast setting, I mean, people who don't really know each other but are trying to talk to one another as though face-to-face, they need to establish that. And swearing can help them do that in the same way, frankly, that it helps to consolidate the in-group of athletes in a locker room.
Well, when it comes to broadcast, when it comes to, say, radio, for example, it's forbidden to use profanity. And so when you're listening to a podcast, you're listening to it on the same device that you would listen to radio. So, you know, a lot of people are not really doing much to distinguish between a radio show and a podcast because they're listening to it on the same technology. And so when the profanity comes out of that technology via a podcast, it seems like it's all acceptable.
Yeah, no, I agree, although I listen to radio that doesn't allow the profanity you're talking about. Some of the shows that I listen to on the radio are, in fact, then repurposed as podcasts, and people listen to them, you know, on their own time that way rather than at the scheduled time on air. And so I think you're right. It's become very sort of fluid among the media. Also, I think that there's probably what some people call media convergence going on. That's partly what you're talking about. It's just that if you hear it in film and you hear it in radio and you see it in print and all this kind of stuff coming at you and all of those align, That kind of constructs a reality in which profanity, it could be any number of other things, but in which profanity in this case is licensed, is allowed.
It's a really, really interesting topic. And I think in broadcast media, I think we're on the verge of BS being just set out in full. And I don't think that's that bad. I think we're a ways from dropping the F-bomb in mainstream broadcast media. But I think something like BS is going to be like, you know, bitch was never said in the past and now it's acceptable today. I think BS is going to be said pretty soon.
Yeah. Well, and of course it's acceptable. Bitch is more complicated because it that can be used as a weapon and often is. But it isn't always, right? BS, not so much. The real test won't even be the F-bomb. The real test will be whether the C-word is ever uttered. Because I think for Americans, that's right out there on the far reaches of taboo.
Yeah, I would agree. For men and women, I hear more women use that word than men.
Yeah, in part, I think I've got evidence of this, and I think it's happening. They're kind of reclaiming it as a word that women can use among women in order to build bonds where men are excluded. And the B word was a lot like that, too, for a while. And it may be reclaimed that way, but I don't think it's going to be something that just anybody can say.
Now, when you talk about the C word, I mean, you're talking about that word that like nobody wants to say today, compromise. Right?
No, not that one. But that's
the other C word that nobody wants to say.
The other one that nobody wants to say. I'll grant you that that's true. What amazes me is how culturally bound this all is. Because if we were having this conversation on Irish radio, we would think it was absurd that people couldn't say the C word. Probably the same in Australian radio, too, because that term just is not proscribed in the same way in those cultures as it is in the United States, but it definitely is in the United States. And that, I think, is going to be the last of the dominoes to fall.
Professor Michael Adams, an author of the book In Praise of Profanity, thanks for your time. I loved the conversation.
It was a pleasure. Thanks so much for having me here.
All right. Thanks, Michael. All right. If you want to join us with a comment, is profanity something that should be acceptable? Should it be acceptable everywhere? The Oakenheart Jewelers Talk and Text line is 504-260-1870. I'm Scoot. We'll be right back on WWL. Profanity, they're just words, but they're words that have a lot of power. I'm Scoot. We're talking about cursing, and I think in a lot of ways it has become more part of mainstream America because of the cursing that is allowed in podcasts and shows that are streaming in different ways in YouTube channels. A lot of profanity is used. I've often argued in my career that it is more difficult to sometimes make something funny without the use of profanity. It's easier to make something funny sometimes with profanity, and it takes more creativity to actually express yourself without using profanity. If you want to join us with a comment, the Oakenheart Jewelers Talk and Text line is 504-260-1870. I mean, is it time for profanity to be used on broadcast radio? I mean, it's everywhere else. Is it time for BS to just be said? Again, that's not a word that weaponizes people. It's not a word that, you know, you use to attack people. It's, you know, explaining what's going on at City Hall is a bunch of BS. Why can't we just say the word BS? Let's go to James in Metairie. James, you're on WWL. Good afternoon.
Well, hi, Scoot. Thank you. Scoot, real quick comment. Seth Meyers, on his late night show, uses the bleep quite often. And actually, even in a series of, you know, bleep, 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 that to me is fun. Broadcast, you know, TV or radio, I think that's the way to go. I mean, you can say the F word and it kind of loses its effect. And who knows who's in that audience? You know, young kids.
That's true.
People could get sick of hearing it. But the way Seth Meyers does it, you know, you understand what's going on. And that's really, really funny, I think, by using the bleep. And that's what I would recommend.
Yeah. James, I do agree with you. And also, you know, let's go back to the philosophy of Seinfeld. You know, Seinfeld didn't say it. They implied it. And they let you figure out what they were talking about. And they gave you credit for knowing what they were talking about. For example, when Elaine had the date and he took it out, he took his you know, he took, he was on a date. They were saying goodbye in the car, and he took it out. I don't have to say what it is. You know what it is. And then, you know, Jerry and Elaine had the conversation. He took it out. He took it out. Yeah, he took it out. We all knew what they were talking about. If they would have said the D word, would it have been as funny? James is in Metairie. Actually, Jim's in Metairie. Jim, you're on WWL. Oh, Jim, you're on. Let's go to Jim in Metairie. Hey, Jim. You with Hello? Us, Jim? Hey, Jim.
I've got two different subjects to talk about. One is, yes, using the F word. I'm guilty of it. I was guilty of it along more than I am today. I got my initiation of using it in the military. It's very, very...
Look, I'm sure there are times. I'm sure there are times in the military when it's appropriate to use it.
Well, yeah, there is. Then there's times when you don't use it. You better not use it.
Yeah.
In front of the wrong people.
I understand.
Yeah. My other comment.
Hey, it happens to me all the time, Jim.
Really? Oh, Vietnam.
Yes.
Okay. My wife and I owned a candy business at during the time of Vietnam, and an organization came to our store and asked if we would take one of the Vietnamese that were brought to New Orleans. And we said, well, okay, we'll try it. And this person did not speak English at all. All we got was his name was shot, which if you translate it, it comes close to being Charles.
Okay.
Well, my wife taught him how to dip chocolates and make pralines. So he said thus one day, he got a little better in English. He said, you come eat at my house, my apartment. We said, okay, we will. We went over there. I think it was Father's Day. And, just like they do in Vietnam, we sat on the floor. And he had four kids that were all very, very polite. Quiet, polite, no yelling.
Jim,
no,
I'm going to have to get to a break here, so I want to make sure you get to finish your story.
Okay. And I saw him several times, and I asked him if he ever was able to make connection with his wife, who was left. He was one of the people that got on the last plane.
Right.
And the
right.
plane shut the door before he could get going.
Okay.
Before
did he get to him. Did he get back with his wife ever?
No, never did. They had eight children.
Oh, wow.
He had four with him, and she had four with her. And the door of the plane closed when he got on.
There are a lot of sad stories like
plane,
that.
He said the plane was shot. It did have holes in it while it was flying.
Wow. Yeah, that was 50 years ago. Jim, I appreciate you sharing that story with us. Yeah, I've got to get to a break here. We're talking about cursing. You know, sometimes Saturday Night Live is not funny, and I'm not sure the cursing is going to make it even funnier. I'm Scoot. We'll be back on WWL. On the Scoot on the Air Rock Culture Calendar, on this day in 2005, Cher wrapped up her farewell tour. It was at the Hollywood Bowl in Los Angeles, and Cher was finished touring. Well, not really. She had another farewell tour in 2014. That was going to be the last farewell tour, but it wasn't. She had another farewell tour in 2018. Man, it's about time for Cher to get back out there with another farewell tour. Let's continue this conversation about profanity. Are you ready for profanity on broadcast radio? Ready for profanity and broadcast television? I mean, it's everywhere else. Should it be allowed on broadcast media? You know, the FCC really leaves it up to communities to determine what is acceptable. Like, more might be said on the air in New York than in New Orleans or in a Bible Belt city. We'll talk a little bit more about that. Also, The Clash was involved in a big concert. It was a concert that was labeled Rock Against Racism on this day in 1978. But yet there are signs of racism today. So what happened? I'm Scoot. We'll talk more about that coming up next. All right, Wednesday afternoon, we are working our way to the weekend on WWL.